The following show is closed caption for the reality impaired. The Jerry Bader Show.
You know what Schadenfreude is, right? Taking delight in other people's misery. That's not what I mean to do here, but our company owns stations in Fargo, North Dakota. Are you aware of what happened yesterday in Fargo, North Dakota? Jason is wincing and nodding yes. A foot of snow and 50-mile-an-hour winds. I am not taking delight in their misery, but it's not our misery. That's all I got to say about that. And it doesn't appear to be coming this way. In fact, someone from our company was supposed to fly out there yesterday and thought, you know what, I don't want to spend the night Monday night in the Minneapolis airport. So he because that's what would have happened. So he rebooked for today. They got nailed. I mean, nailed. And you know some of the spring thaw stuff that you're starting. You know, we got a basement guy coming tonight. It's long overdue. They just got absolutely drilled. It was the last day of March. What do they have for Fargo today? Let's see. Partly cloudy, 12 above, feels like 5 below. So that stuff's going to hang around for a while. I mean, that's not going to melt. Let me see. They get up to, well, okay, then by Friday, but they have more snow on Friday. Just a chance of snow showers. 40, 49, but they have a fresh foot of snow. It's just, I don't know what I would have done had that been. Anyway, I don't want to dwell on that too much. By the way, I want to thank the listener who sent me the video. Those of you who are old enough to remember the TV series from the 1970s, In Search Of, narrated by Leonard Nimoy. I'm going to post, or did I? I did post it. I did, but thank you, Jason. I did post it. In Search Of the Next Ice Age. Scientists were convinced we were on the brink of the next ice age. This, as the UN again has another hysterical prediction about global warming. I mean hysterical. I don't know if we're going to get to that today, but we'll see. Oh, you know what else? Go to the Bader blog because we're probably... Actually, Jason, you know what? Real quick. There's so many things I'm unpacking the show today. Open up the Kathleen Sebelius one. What happens when the Oklahoma reporter mentions to her that people in Oklahoma hate Obamacare? This, of course, on the deadline, and the damn website broke down again yesterday because of the last-minute crush. This exchange is delicious. Go ahead, Jason. Just listen to this. It is real.
On the table each and every day.
Yeah, but at least at last check, 64% of Oklahomans aren't buying into the health care plan. They don't like Obamacare, and they've been pretty vocal about it. Now, that's going to be still continue to be a tough sell, but we'll see how that plays out over the coming months.
Hello? Hello? Katie?
All right, Secretary Sebelius, thank you so much for being with us this morning. I think we've probably lost sound here or something.
Well, I can hear you, okay. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
What an idiot. Why didn't she just play on that she couldn't hear him? That would have been the easiest thing to do. Nothing. Silence. You've got to see the video at jerrybadershow.com at the Bader blog because it's just awkward. She just sits there. Well, I'm not going to say anything. Then there's this. Last night, I had about a half an hour phone conversation with State Senator Glenn Grothman. In a piece that appears on Right Wisconsin right now, the headline, Grothman, I'll decide in the next 10 days whether I'm running for Congress. Glenn Grothman told me that he will decide within 10 days if he's going to challenge Tom Petri in a primary. Another potential Republican challenger to Petri, Dewey Strobel, state representative in the Ozaukee County area, says he'll decide on Monday. Okay. Now, here's what Grothman is saying. There's the perception that this anti-Petri push is coming from what's a relatively new region of the 6th Congressional District in Ozaukee County, which was pulled into it in the 2010 redistricting. Grothman flatly rejects that. If that's where it was born, he says it is certainly not confined to there. And he ticked off to me all the counties where he's attended Lincoln Day dinners and heard dissatisfaction with Tom Petri. Bottom line, and it's not even so much a Rhino thing, but just ineffectual. And he said to me several times he's very seriously thinking about it, but hasn't made up his mind. I'm just going to tell you, he sure sounded like a candidate to me. And if he doesn't run, I'm going to be pretty surprised. So we should know in a week or less, well, 10 days to a week, because Strobel said he'll do it on Monday. And Glenn told me within 10 days. We'll know. And then the question does become, does Tom Petri run again? Been there since 1979, and I think that's a big part of the problem. All right, I want to get into this. And we'll continue this through probably the next half hour. Mary Burke has received another pants on fire from PolitiFact Wisconsin. Now, I will, to a degree, applaud PolitiFact Wisconsin. They have called her out now twice and given her the pants on fire she deserves. I would argue, though, that these are so blatant, so flagrant, even they couldn't cover these up. Much like they still, nobody, by the way, and this is frustrating to me, no one in the mainstream media is seriously challenging the notion that she grew sales from somewhere to $3 million to $50 million in Trek Bicycles European division over a three-year period. If you're a business person out there and you have goals to increase sales, does anyone believe you could do that? Think of what the percentage of that is. If you go from $3 million to $6 million, that's 100%. Do you know what a stunning growth that would be? It would be big to go from 3 million to 50 or whatever. She changed the numbers a couple of times. Anyway, they wouldn't give her a pants on fire. They wouldn't even give her a false for that. They just wouldn't raid it because we wouldn't have enough information. But we can say Scott Walker was lying when he said the patrol car that he was in was shaken by protesters. We can go ahead and call that one a lie. No problems there. Anyway, this pants on fire is for yet another cherry picking. Here is what she said this time. In her recently unveiled jobs plan, she marshaled statistics to make a case that progress on jobs and earnings has been lackluster, even non-existent. One example, Wisconsin wages are declining at double the rate of other states, and current indicators suggest these trends will continue if we stay on the current plan. Now, listen carefully to that verbiage. That's when she announced her fluff, completely without detail, jobs plan on March 25th. Wisconsin wages are declining at double the rate of other states. And listen carefully. And current indicators suggest these trends will continue if we stay on the current path. Here's what she really did. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, private sector wages in Wisconsin fell 2.2% in the 12 months ending September 2012. That was double the 1.1% decline experienced by the nation overall. Okay. However, what they point out, though, is that she cherry-picked that one number. And the trend did not hold up in Wisconsin or nationally. In fact, Wisconsin's private sector wage growth has made a big move in the opposite direction, topping the national average starting with the March 2013 quarterly report. So she took one report, which is 2 years old, said, yeah, we're trending downward. And they call her out on this and call it pants on fire. The latest report came out 5 days, the rosy one on wages in Wisconsin, came out 5 days before she did this. So for her to say current trends is a lie. The current trends are the most recent trends. This is not vague. This is not ambiguous. Here's what I find stunning about this. And what I'm calling this, okay, you've heard of the scorched earth. It started with Sherman's March to sea. It's been used for Dresden bombings and World War II, Tokyo fire bombings, and of course the atomic bombings. Where, look, you use whatever you have. I'm calling this her scorched pants policy in honor of PolitiFact's pants on fire. By the way, I think that's catchy. I think that could catch on. What I don't understand is why. This seems so desperate, so early. You know what it makes me wonder? It makes me wonder if their internal polling is uglier than what we're seeing publicly from polls such as exclusively, from the Marquette University Law School poll. I've said this before. There is a tried and true strategy. If you are someone with considerable personal wealth, which Mary Burke is, and the numbers we've heard bandied about is that she's willing to spend $7 million to $10 million of her own dollars to get elected. I'll give you two examples. There are more, but I'll give you two examples because they're both here in Wisconsin. The most obvious and successful one is Herb Kohl. 1988. There was a slate of Democratic candidates to succeed Bill Proxmire. There's a primary. Proxmire announced he's out. Former Governor Anthony Earle, was the front runner. I think Jim Moody was in there. I can't remember who else. Out of the blue, here comes Herb Kohl. Everybody laughed at that candidacy, and then he started writing big fat checks to TV stations all around Wisconsin. And everybody stopped laughing. Now, it wasn't just the amount of money, but it was his, what I would call, soft focus message. That's where he really started the nobody senator but yours. They resonated. He was an outsider, a businessman. And they were ridiculously successful in their message. They resonated with the state. He didn't talk about his opponents. He just spent gobs and gobs of money on a gauzy, soft-focused, warm, fuzzy message. He shot right to the top. Why? Because the mission there was to define himself. He was a blank slate. He defined himself before the opposition could. She has taken no opportunity, and I understand we're not dealing with a primary, but I still think the same principle plays here. All right, Eric Hovde in the 2012 U.S. Senate primary. Now, I understand that he didn't win, but it was a very difficult race. Four ways, the vote split. The reality is if Tommy Thompson hadn't been there, or if Jeff Fitzgerald hadn't been there, he would have won. To come out of nowhere, and Eric came out of nowhere, and to come just an eyelash shy of beating an established name like Tommy Thompson was amazing. Jason says she got labeled before she could label herself, or identify brand herself. Well, yeah, and that's an incredibly stupid. It defies logic. If she really has that money and she's really willing to spend it, she should have spent a boatload of it. Here's the only thing I can figure, and this is all I can figure, that they felt that branding wasn't necessary this early because there isn't a primary. If that is the case, and I really believe Mike Tate's idiocy, thank God, is involved in this, the chairman of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Fortunately for us being conservatives, she has squandered an incredible opportunity here. And already that they're in attack mode. Now, they must feel that PolitiFact Wisconsin, quite frankly, as do I, doesn't have all that much impact and that they can really just get away with this. It practically smells desperate. And I think the scorch pants strategy is going to do just that, burn her and not the opposition, Scott Walker. I don't think anybody's falling for this crap. And it's amazing that she... I think it's too late. I don't think she could start running a lot of fluffy ads now because it would look even more desperate because it would appear, she realizes she's not gaining any ground. She's been in the campaign for a while now. And she's just not getting anywhere. Scorch pants strategy is burning exactly the person the name would imply. It's 9:22.
Jerry Bader, jerrybadershow.com.